Hi friends. Life Hacks 106. Can you believe that it's the sixth episode of Life Hacks already? We've been through so many tools for a productive and efficient life, and there's so many more to go. So strap yourself in because today's an absolute belter. Johnny and Yusuf seemed obsessed with trying to derail this episode, and you will hear me grapple with them both verbally and physically during the course of this recording. In other news, we have got some fantastic festive themed ideas for some upcoming episodes. So as your TV screens and radio stations begin to be besmirched with the sound of jingling bells and talk of 50% off soft furnishings at homeware stores, we're going to enter into the festive spirit as well. If there are any topics that you would like us to cover around New Year's, goal setting, productivity, whatever it might be, fire it over. I've also managed to reach out to some companies that make some really awful Christmas jumpers, which you are going to be able to see me force Yusuf and Johnny into. So head to the Modern Wisdom YouTube channel. Make sure that you click subscribe. If you would, it would make me incredibly happy, and you are going to be the first person to see Yusuf and Johnny wearing some very silly Christmas jumpers.
All right, quick maths. The less that your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money that you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce the costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you are improving efficiency by bringing all your business processes into one platform. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the maths and see how you will profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/modern right now. That's netsuite.com/modern. This episode is brought to you by Crafted London. Finding men's jewelry that doesn't suck is very difficult, and Crafted London have nailed it. They're the number one men's jewelry company worldwide. They're sweatproof, waterproof, heatproof, and gymproof. They've got custom designs in gold and silver, necklaces, chains, pendants, bracelets, rings, and earrings. If you've seen me on any of the big cinema episodes on YouTube wearing a necklace, it will always be from Crafted. I absolutely love it. It works with formal wear, casual wear, whether it's daytime or nighttime. All of their pieces are super high quality. The designs are great, and I love them. It's all I wear. Also, they have an unlimited lifetime guarantee, so if your piece breaks for any reason at any point during the entire life of the product, they will give you a new one for free. Get a 15% discount site-wide on everything by going to bit.ly/cdwisdom and using the code MW15 at checkout. That's bit.ly/letter C letter D wisdom and MW15 at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Whoop. I have worn Whoop for over 4 years now, since way before they were a partner on the show, and it is the only wearable I have ever stuck with because it's the best. It is so innocuous, you do not remember that you've got it on, and yet it tracks absolutely everything 24/7 via something from your wrist. It tracks your heart rate, it tracks your sleep, your recovery, all of your workouts, your resting heart rate, your heart rate variability, how much you're breathing throughout the night. It puts all of this into an app and spits out very simple, easy to understand, and fantastically usable data. It's phenomenal. I am a massive, massive fan of Whoop, and that is why it's the only wearable that I've ever stuck with. You can join for free, pay nothing for the brand new Whoop 4.0 strap, plus you get your first month for free, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can buy it for free, try it for free, and if you do not like it, after 29 days, they will give you your money back. Head to join.whoop.com/modernwisdom. That's join.whoop.com/modernwisdom.
But for now, it's life hacks time. Enjoy, tweet me, Instagram me, do whatever you need if you have something to add, and if not, sit back, listen, and learn. So So, Life Hacks 106, principles for a productive and efficient life.
You made it trendy. You already made it trendy. It was fine. It's just Life Hacks.
What?
Where's the tagline from?
It's trendy.
Ruins the intro.
You do.
Do I ruin it or do I...
No, you ruin it.
Is it endearing?
No.
I think it's endearing.
And then Chris tries to reel it back so we can continue doing it in one
you're
take.
Watching me, you're watching me grapple.
But I'm a ghost in the system.
Right. Do you want to go
fly
first?
Fly in the ointment.
A scone in the lemon.
Scone in the pot.
Right. For the first time in 3 episodes, you have a list.
I have some. No, I just wrote this earlier.
Cool.
It's not very comprehensive. Do you want
just
big topic or a quick one?
Quick one.
Little jab. Throw one thing away per day.
Mm. All right.
As in, like, one empty pack of crisps.
No.
Yeah.
One possession.
That's presuming that you purchase possessions at quicker than one a day.
No.
Because eventually you will...
No, it's not.
You're going to end up with no possessions.
The whole point would be... That would be ridiculous. Think of the rate that you'd be accumulating things at now.
Right.
How
long do I have to continue this for?
So the idea is...
I'm going to end up homeless.
Things should
no
serve a particular purpose in your life, and a lot of people have a lot of bloated stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's an article of a guy that has 22 possessions.
And they'll all be mint, won't
yeah.
they? Yeah.
It's like a really expensive set of hard-wearing boots, a MacBook Air, like a clipper.
Mm. I'd go give it to a charity shop or sell it.
eBay.
Whatever. Or eBay.
Fair enough.
I just think it leads to a more streamlined existence.
Minimalist lifestyle.
Space will be tidier, mentally clearer. Really, most people go like, oh, I'm going to have a big tidy up, like bollocks, just throw one thing away per day.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, 6 months later...
You're not batching your process there very effectively, though, are you?
It's a habit. It's a process goal rather than an outcome goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You go. You didn't good. Like it, but it's a good one.
Life hack, also a fitness tip. Best thing that you can do for your upper body is get a pull-up bar in your house. The pull-up is like the squat of the upper body. And if you just have it in your house, especially and if you rent somewhere and you're like, oh, I can't drill into the walls of the door because the landlord will be annoyed, just get one of the lever ones that you just hook it on. And you pull on one side, it's completely stable.
It's a cantilever. Force down is applied.
Cantilever without a U. So you get one of them. Every time you walk past it, do 5 pull-ups. Or like, let's say, okay.
One max set.
So yeah, pick the max number of reps you can do, divide it by 2 and do that many number of reps. So if you can do 10 pull-ups in one set, do 5. If you can only do 3, do 1 pull-up.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't do any pull-ups,
jumping pull.
Jump to the top, let yourself down as slow as you can, all the way down. Don't do any of this kind of, oh, I'm done. Like, jump to the top, let yourself all the way down.
That's what Johnny was doing in CrossFit class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to waste your time, might as well fill most of your time. you could buy the V-Taper program.
That is a program that we have, which added, and people think I'm lying about this, it added 25 kilograms to my bench press in 8 weeks. Johnny saw it happen.
I watched it.
To some people, that might not sound like a lot because they're making noob gains.
Yeah. I see. It went from 115 to 140.
But you'd already got close to peak performance.
I was, yeah.
And that was after a lot of training, wasn't it?
Like, it was. That was after six, seven years of training. Mm. Added an inch or an inch and a half to my chest and back. Big difference in the photos. Probably got slightly leaner, if anything. So
it's a hard program.
It is a hard program.
Propanefitness.com/...
Probably search not. On the search bar for V-Taper.
I haven't got it optimized.
Doesn't know the URL.
Propanefitness.com/products, V-Taper, and then credit card information.
We'll just create propanefitness.com/V-Taper.
There you go. By the time this is up, unless Dean gets it up right now. So, my one. Anchor USB hub.
Okay. Anchor lever. Anchor lever without a U.
Fucking hell.
Turkey breast.
So, everyone will know that almost everything in their home, or their bedroom especially, is charged by USB. And
I recently got a lamp, which is charged by USB.
Yeah, it's annoying.
That's awesome.
Toothbrush is charged by USB.
I've got a USB lamp and it's a little twat.
I think it just plugs into a USB.
Well, the charging thing, so it's a battery-powered moon lamp, and then the other end of that. So you've got millions...
Mine doesn't even charge, it just needs to always be in a USB. That's the...
Millions of dispersed products, which require a USB plug to fit into... Get Anker make one. I think the one I've got is an 8 stack. So it's like a little rectangle, about that big, maybe a few inches by a few inches by USB thick. And it's got 8 of them. No, not that one.
surely that's similar.
Similar, but not it's not that one, is it? And it's just going to fix all of your problems. Everything comes out of one area. You're never going to lose plugs again. One thing is plugged in. You don't need a multi-socket. And it's just fantastic. It's been an absolute game changer.
Have you got any wall sockets that have a USB slot?
No, because I've got this.
Okay.
They're fucking stupid, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got one. I use it for my lamp that needs to be permanently plugged into a USB.
So you've bought a lamp and then bought the socket for the lamp? Or were they coincidental?
Coincidental, yeah. But like, you can also use it, obviously, for phone.
It's like Philips Hue, isn't it? It's having to buy a switch for your smart lamp, for your smart light.
Shout out to Michael Kaju from Brute Strength for making me jealous of his USB hub while I was in Texas. And I got back and I was like, I need one of them. It's fantastic.
There's never enough USBs, is there?
There is now with this hack. So, what's next, Johnny?
Oh, Christ. Get a monthly massage.
Mm-hmm. Where from? Where do people go if they don't have someone good? Because... finding a massage therapist is...
Oh, yeah. I was going to... Yeah. Yusuf.
If you're in the northeast, for serious, I'm quite limited on availability, but weekends, give me a shout.
Here's the affiliate scheme.
There's only one downside.
It's like ball over again, isn't it?
That's that you have to listen to normally a lecture sometimes.
On 3x speed. I'll give you a discount if I can listen to a lecture on 3x speed.
Would you?
Yeah. I'll give you £5 off. Otherwise, you can listen to whatever of your choosing.
For a £5 surplus. So what you're saying is for £5 surplus, you can pay, you can pay to listen to your own music.
What about if it's silent? Is that just the price?
It's the midpoint. Yeah.
£2.50.
But so it puts you in enough volume of tissue work that you would never put yourself through yourself. It hurts, so you would never do it yourself. And it just prevents things from getting too out of hand. And once a month isn't so frequent that it's like financially insane. I mean, once a month is still quite a bit, but I think for the return, worth it.
Nice. It's gone.
Get a shoehorn.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So I did an analysis of this, which is like, let's say you wear a lot of Converse and Vans and any shoe that's just a little willy to try and get on.
Brogues.
Brogues are, yeah, massively. If you get... painful heels or blisters on your heels, you need to protect them. So if you spend, let's say you take your shoes on and off, average 3-4 times a day, takes you 15 to 30 seconds per shoe. Let's say 15 seconds. That's 30 seconds per time, multiply by 4. That's 2 minutes per day. Multiply that by 365.
Alfred.
That's 730 minutes. That's 12 hours of time.
Jesus.
That you're putting your shoes on.
Per what?
Yeah. Per year that you're putting your shoes on.
What, can you get that down to with a shoe on?
Hang on, I feel like my maths is wrong.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem that bad, really. And also, not something...
It's only 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes a day, though. Just 2 minutes times 365.
730.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So, you can get one
times
on
it of your life.
How much... What are you saving by using the shoehorn?
Okay, so that's 12.1 hours. Let's say your hourly rate is £10 an hour. You're saving £121 over a year of human man hours. Imagine how much profit potential you could generate.
But you don't put your shoes on instantly with a shoehorn. You just put them on more quickly.
Yeah, so zero.
Yeah, we need to work out the saving time. So maybe, let's say you save...
5 seconds.
Okay.
I think you'd probably cut it down to a quarter.
Yeah, 25%
of the original
time. Because
you're not getting your finger jammed in it.
Yeah, you save your thumb skin as well. Everyone wants a bit of nice thumb skin.
I agree.
So eBay, 70p, free postage.
No, man, you don't want... You...
Or you could do what these two did, which was the most beautiful gift I've ever received for my birthday. They got me a proper weapon of a shoehorn. Like,
what is it? Probably 50 inches long, and yeah, it's like cold rolled steel or something.
It's lovely. It's
we also got you some ham.
And you ate it?
It was Parma ham.
Parma ham.
Haram.
Haram.
And a
green eggs and
Thomas the Tank Engine card.
Yeah.
That leads quite nicely into two that I want to do, which are more, I guess, friendship-based or conceptual-based. First one is tell your friends that you miss them. So this is something that I read in the 6-Minute Diary, which you'll have heard me speak about a lot and is potentially an upcoming life hack on this episode, where it says your friends will appreciate you telling them that you're thinking of them. And so many times you'll think about someone that you care about, whether it be a friend or a family member, and you won't do anything about it. You're like, that is the lowest hanging fruit of a nice gesture. You send and receive shite messages on a hourly basis on your phone. Just when that happens, now whenever I get a pang of thinking about someone, I just tend to tell them. I try my best to go, thinking about you, man, hope you're good. Or send a message to my mum or dad, or ask how the dogs are. Like, and it's a nice little rule of thumb. The same way that some people have got like trigger numbers, like wherever they see the number 21, it reminds them to be mindful or whatever it might be. That's kind of the same thing for me. And on the side of that is be the guy who organises stuff, or the girl who organises stuff for your friends. So I've got a lot of mates who complain that their friends never want to do things, like that they just doss around or they always just go to the pub or do whatever. Mm. Now, the power's in your hands to do this. And if you continue, like, I managed to get you two to go to Iceland.
Yeah, you are definitely that person.
Thin end of the wedge.
You don't need to do that.
What Chris did... So me and Chris were wanting to go to Iceland.
Chris and I.
I took the plunge. I was like, okay, it'll be a nice thing. I got the jitis on the way, but
bad jitis.
Johnny was like, oh no, I really can't afford to go to Iceland at the moment. It's going to be £9,500 for everything. And so Chris
per thing
bought him
not for everything.
Per thing,
yeah.
Bought him the plane ticket to Iceland. And then you're the dick if you don't go,
because that was
someone's got you a plane
ticket.
That
was in sterling.
That was in sterling. So that was fine. But then that's the reason it's thin end of the wedge, is because that's really just cranking the door open. But the real cost of Iceland is once you get there and you buy a ready meal from the supermarket and it's £9,500.
You can sense the... So Chris and I just lived off Domino's the whole time.
Which was £9,500 per pizza.
It was cheaper. Domino's was like standard price, wasn't it?
Domino's was...
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah. Domino's ended up being...
Franchise.
The most affordable thing. Like, you'd be better off just having Domino's for every...
There was a man who built his house out of them. It was cheaper than bricks.
Fine. Well, it would be. That's the thing. That's another life hack. Like, you're an idiot if you pay full price for Domino's, because they've constantly got discounts.
Two for Tuesday.
And Pizza Express.
We ordered...
Pizza Express model, isn't it?
We ordered...
the protein
half works. A grand of Domino's to a staff induction a couple of weeks ago.
That's a lot of Domino's with vouchers as well.
Two for Tuesdays.
Good God.
That would have like bust a shop.
We had to do that. We had to ring them in advance.
Well, like the day before and go, just to let you know.
Spread it over.
FYI.
You're about to have the mother load send you away.
Shove this like right in your dough.
Book Friday off as a holiday, because tomorrow I'm hitting your weekly revenue target.
Damn right. Johnny.
I'm never ready. You catch me off guard every time.
I know.
Have one ready for the next time.
Quick fire.
Life hack.
Oh, yeah.
This is a biggie.
It is.
Self-monetize.
Okay.
So I heard an example of a guy who... Okay, so step back. If we assume that AI, machine learning, etc. is slowly taking over a lot of jobs. So let's say, but in 20 years' time, a good chunk of jobs that are have a fairly manual component to them will be largely automated. So you need to not wait until that's happening to go, oh shit, I'm unemployed, I need to find something else to do. There's an example of a guy who I heard in a podcast recently who used to work in the same area I used to work in. So he used to work for a big four accountancy firm. Saw this happening. He was like, literally, they are hiring less people per year because of all this automation. Left and started selling a product online using online marketing, etc., of just how to get a job at one of these firms, and earns more per year than when he was working there. which is a bit meta.
So ironic, yeah.
But like, he just the point of self-monetize is like everyone has a something that they could just coach or offer. Just start doing it as a side hobby.
This is the guy from ClickFunnels, right?
Not him.
No, but he does. That's one of the things that he says. Everyone's an expert in something.
So if you want to get expert secrets, let us know. I'll send you a link.
Speak to the guys. That's a really good point. I like that a lot. I saw some guy that I started following on Twitter the other day came up with an unbelievable side business that everyone could do. Search local businesses on Google or Facebook. When you view the page, look for the ones that say, is this your business? Claim it. Then call that business and say, you're not doing online marketing. Your competitors are taking your money away from you.
Mm.
Very easily learn online marketing and do their marketing for them.
Yeah.
There you go. Probably a 20 grand a year business just in your back pocket.
There are so many things that like, so if you are a 20 something, you're like, or 30 something, whatever, like you're fairly familiar with Facebook, social media, etc. There are so many business owners who are 50 something who have no interest in learning, weren't raised with that level of technology. And you can just provide a service online in your pajamas.
Look, I'll teach you how to tweet face and do it yourself.
You book the whole thing.
You book.
And that is a side income that in some cases can eclipse what you currently earn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. So, it's like you probably have an expertise in at least two or three things that you maybe not even consider, you wouldn't even consider to be an expertise in. Like the guy on how to get a job at the company that he works at, that's not something that immediately comes to mind. It's like, oh, hang on, I've got a job here, so therefore I know how to get the job here.
Exactly.
So I can sell the... So
we say when we're teaching PTs how to move online is just staying one chapter ahead of the people you're helping. So in the film Catch Me If You Can, he pretends to teach a class, or he teaches a class by just reading one chapter ahead of where the class actually is for a whole term. And like, if you know a little bit about something more than someone else, you can help them.
Essentially an expert.
Where you are, exactly. And actually that person probably doesn't want someone who's 10 steps or 20 steps ahead because
they've lost touch.
It's unrelatable, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So that's good, man.
Don't wait until AI takes your job to get another income.
Did you see I did a tweet today? I think one of you guys replied to it about self-driving cars. Yeah. There we go. So there was this statistic that I was listening to about self-driving cars will save 1 million road deaths per year. And people are still arguing over which group of pedestrians it would hit if it was presented with this existential
question. Though humans make the optimal decision. That's the ridiculous thing.
So,
it's like, and this is what I said, the perfect thing that I said on the tweet was, we would sooner die of our own volition than live at the behest of a computer.
Mm.
Well, so the response was people, after September the 11th, many people decided to drive interstate because they were afraid of September the 11th happening again, which ironically, it's so unlikely that the same terrorist event is going to happen again. Because
where do you think the most security is going to be immediately after an airplane incident?
Yeah. Exactly. And terrorists don't, like, they don't operate.
Right, guys,
like
let's double down on the motorways.
I'm just convinced that the motorways are going to be where it's at.
Look, John.
Half the security on the... Yeah.
Exactly. So my life hack, on the note of you saying having a trigger number that reminds you to do something, is... So you can do digital or analog. The digital version is an app on iPhone called Alarmed. So Alarm-D. That just allows you to set... and the image is actually like a little bit of string around someone's finger, and that's what people used to do. So you can wear a ring, or you can wear a bracelet or something that also reminds you of that, and every time you become aware of it or you notice it on your body, or you set an alarm to go off at certain intervals throughout the day, you can do the habit that you're looking to instill. For me, it's deeper breathing. So I've got the deep breath alarm,
this now.
And it makes a really unintrusive, like, boom, and it's quiet enough.
Sorry, what does it do?
Boom.
Right, it's nice.
It's lovely. And so it doesn't vibrate or anything. It's just enough for you to notice it. Other people won't even clock
register.
It. And that's just
reminds you to focus on the breath.
Yeah.
That's a really nice way to do it. I might do that for making sure that my posture and core.
That one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Alarmed. Very nice indeed. What am I going to do? Okay, so Video Guy Dean will love the fact that he's got some partner footage for this. but I recently decided to purchase a pregnancy pillow.
So glad we can.
Congratulations.
Yeah. As you will see here. And we're back.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no. Awful when we go away.
It's just blackness.
Yeah. Lose all sense of time. Dead. How long have we been gone for?
That's the thing, I don't know.
We'll never know.
Someone may have tampered with me. It's gone. Sure. Yeah.
It's gone.
For a moment, we was gone.
We was gone. Pregnancy pillow. It's essentially a huge, as you've just seen in the footage, it's a big U-shaped bastard that lives in your bed. And as opposed to having a normal pillow and not being able to support yourself when you roll over, if you're a slightly heavier guy, like we may be, it means I like sleeping on my side, but I don't like folding over without support underneath. And I never really knew what I was missing until I had a pregnancy pillow. So being able to put something that's both between your legs and that your top arm can rest on takes so much of the pressure off, like chest already sat over a computer all day, opening up your scapula, opening up your back and closing off on your chest. And then you go to bed and mimic the same position.
Mm. The idea as well, but that by having your legs slightly apart, if you didn't have that, your spine sags because you've got your head elevated and then the rest of your body is down like that and then your legs are together, so your spine is laterally sagging down, whereas if you have your legs slightly apart, it just straightens things up a bit. And then if you do Johnny's tip from Life Hacks 104, I think
105,
was it 105, where you have in that position, you have the pillow like this.
Don't forget the towel roll.
There's going to be a towel, otherwise it
doesn't work. The towel roll inside, wedged between the gap here.
Yeah, imagine my hand's a towel roll. Imagine my hand's not my hand, it's a towel roll. This hand's my hand.
Isn't that lovely?
Are you sure?
I'm certain.
What's this?
That's my hand, this is a towel.
Okay.
And then, if you don't have a pregnancy pillow, you need...
Another pillow.
I have a three pillow setup, unfortunately.
Would you not consider a pregnancy pillow?
I'm a bit worried about the heat.
I'm well up for a pregnancy pillow, but it contravenes my estrogen experiment at the moment because it's made of polyurethane. So
can we
polyethylene? One of those.
It's the complexity of that sentence. Like I know exactly what you mean, but
I know what you mean.
It's true, actually. That sentence, it contravenes my estrogen experiment because like,
well,
so there's another.
What's your estrogen experiment?
What happened?
Prepayfitness.com/estrogen.
How do you spell estrogen?
With an E. No, let's do British estrogen. O-O-E. Estrogen.
What happened when I lit some candles when we all came around to my house?
I cried.
You got upset, didn't you?
You got upset because it was going to ruin your experiment to try and improve your free testosterone.
Is it your free? Is it not the net?
For me, it's my free.
Is the net, isn't it? Total and free.
My total's normal. My free is subnormal. So propane/estrogen and V-taper.
I'm just normal.
I'm going to make those two links before this goes out.
Your tots are on.
My tots are on. Yeah.
Through the roof.
Who
just did one?
You did.
What did I do?
Pregnancy pillow.
Pregnancy pillow. So it's really nice. You can get one on Amazon. The link will be in the show notes below. And it's like £20 for like a smaller one. I'm going to upgrade to the one that you sent me.
That's nice. £50. But it looks worth it, to be honest.
It's, the problem with my one is I have a pregnancy pillow and then I need to put another one on top.
Because it is thin on the ground, isn't it?
It's too thin. So
need two pregnancy pillows.
How would you... Who's the guy that did the...
Top deal.
Who's the guy that did the sleep
thing? Kelly Surratt.
Kelly Surratt was the one. Actually, that was linked in Lifehacks 105. Check that out. And he did the sleep posture thing, right? How would you utilize a pregnancy pillow with that? Would you just go one arm under, one arm over?
Yeah. And he talks about, so either if you're lying on your back, pillow under the hamstrings. If you're lying on your side, pillow between your legs.
Yeah.
And then he has the sort of that display, which is kind of what a pregnancy pillow is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are not doing, so I think what he's trying to get away from is people go like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that you're like sat on your shoulder, lying on your shoulder.
Or like that.
Or like that.
As soon as you, as, I mean, even if you don't have a pregnancy pillow, you're not prepared to make the move. Your partner's going to say that, what the fuck have you made this barrier between us in the bed for?
Mm.
You're not pregnant.
You travel a lot, or yeah, whatever it is.
How do you know?
You're not a woman.
Yeah. You're pregnant. Why are your legs so long? even if you're not prepared to do that, you can quite easily, like just getting used to slotting that bottom arm underneath a pillow and pushing the pillow in between yourself and your shoulder. Mm. Like even just when you told me that, I was like, Why have I not been...
That's what I do currently, because my pillow doesn't compress very much. Yep. But I'm going to go for the next stage and do the rolled up towel, I think, because...
Nice. You sleep on the floor, though.
I do sleep on the floor. So
no, but that sounds like I'm just...
Well, I know that you wanted me to mention that as well.
To the listeners at home, it'll be a joke that Yusuf sleeps on the floor. Ah, Johnny and Chris made a funny exaggerating because he's an Arab.
Actually sleeps on the floor.
No, you actually do.
I do, and I'm considering getting some wooden pallets.
Just how long did we fight with you to try and get you to get a bed?
Weeks.
And you could have had 90 days times three.
When you bought your house to when you moved in.
Mm-hmm. So I've done 4 months now of sleeping on the floor.
Good.
On a mattress topper.
On a mattress topper, just to stop the joints from... Yeah, so I did it as a journalistic piece, and I'm writing an article, video about it. It's coming out soon on propanefitness.com/sleeping-on-the-floor.
I think we should call it /floor.
Floor, fine. I love making these links on the fly, but it just means creating more work for ourselves.
On the screen.
Oh, it's good.
So hold on, the links that you say don't exist.
Not yet, but they will.
Yeah, so they do.
They do exist now.
Mm. Don't give away the scheduling.
So net overall, are you going to sleep on the floor forever?
No, there have been some benefits, some downsides, but you'll have to see the article and the video to find out why.
Nice.
No spoilers.
Europe. Man, you weren't ready.
Because we get sucked in a direction. No matter how we're going to be talking about sleeping.
Johnny just got completely sucked off.
He got sucked off in a direction.
I said off, did I?
I said sucked in. Off in a direction. Which direction? Hope it was up.
Sucked out.
So you know what, actually, I'm going to give up coffee. Give up caffeine.
You're going to give up coffee, or you're going to do giving up coffee?
So I've already given up coffee within a month of it.
Not anymore, you haven't.
And you haven't even had your Fit Aid.
I know.
Which I'm impressed with.
You nearly went Arab with that there, for some reason.
Because I was going to call it Fitty.
All right. And
Okay, so how much coffee were you having before?
Lots.
How much? On average?
5 cups a day.
Flat teaspoons, big heap teaspoons?
So I have a Nespresso machine, the little capsules.
Yep.
But like, so I'd have like 2 at home.
Morning.
And then sometimes like go out, maybe have 2 in a coffee shop.
Lunchtime.
Yeah. And the trouble is...
It's reckless.
Yeah. Well, that looking back now, it is reckless. What was
interesting?
It's funny
how like it resets not only your sensitivity to caffeine, but also your sense of like, whoa, that's loads of coffee. Like,
so, I was on holiday with my girlfriend, ordered my second, so at breakfast, I ordered my second cafetiere, right, at breakfast. Because I'm like, I used to have this, I may have even said it on these podcasts, I used to have this attitude of like, anyone who gives up coffee has just fucking got nothing to do. Like, go find me someone who drinks a lot of coffee, I'll show you someone who gets a lot done, they've got a big to-do list, like they're probably quite an ambitious
long
person.
Long penis.
Big penis, yeah. Massive deadlift, all those things. And
biggest bench press.
And so I just... Almost wore it as a badge of honour that I drank a lot of coffee.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's a culture around that, certainly in the fitness industry, of like, you know, how I feel on a Monday without coffee, et cetera, et cetera. So she said, I bet you couldn't go without coffee for 30 days. And my immediate, like, fuck you, yes, I can, kicked in. And before I knew it, I'd committed to it. So the first thing
you're
I
drinking,
did...
like mate tea. You know, but, morning, but, you know, like,
first thing I did was Amazon... Bought a, so I was like, right, I'm going to get really into tea. That tea's mint. So I ordered like yerba mate, pu'er tea, sencha green tea, and I was making these concoctions and like, this tastes awful. I'm trying to convince myself that it was fine.
Remembering that we're all sat in a WhatsApp chat listening
witnessing
to you and Jordan Ayres discuss the finer points of how to get off being on coffee and drinking something that you hate.
It's like it's two addicts talking about how to boil down methadone to make it like
so that it's not methadone anymore.
Yeah.
So the weirdest thing about it was, I think because I was still having some tea, so I was allowed any tea I wanted, just no coffee, so I couldn't have decaf. So it was trying to get myself away from seeing coffee as like
spooning
my
tea
default.
Leaves and everything.
Yeah,
because tea has more caffeine than coffee apparently, but it's just that
it can't diffuse properly. Yeah. So I think I probably, my caffeine intake went down from probably 600 milligrams a day to less than 100 milligrams a day. And some days, nothing at all.
For someone that doesn't know what 600 milligrams is, like,
it's not very much.
A shot of espresso is roughly 60 to 80,
yeah.
Usually 60. So
otherwise known as pointless.
A knocko is 140.
Yeah, so that's like a decent, like a nice starter dose.
Okay, so I'm joking. What were the effects that 30 days of no caffeine elicited?
Sleep. So I was expecting some sleep benefits, few headaches, like, but feeling a bit frustrated and generally underwhelmed. And
underwhelmed. Where's the underwhelm? I cannot find it.
Sleep was improved an unbelievable amount. So, like, I think we were recording a podcast one evening after I'd been doing it for about a week, and I was like, I can't keep my eyes open. It was like 9:30, falling asleep.
So how long does it take until you start, you saw sleep improvements?
It was almost instant.
You said it was a week in that you...
We were doing a podcast, but just generally at like 9:30. Just.
Oh, I see. So when you say sleep improvements, you mean you're tired in the nighttime.
Tired in the evening without having to like try and wind down.
Because I think around the same time, I was going back onto coffee. I had another two or three days, because I've been off coffee for a few years now, like cold turkey. And I had two or three days of like, I'm going to, you know, ease myself back into coffee. And just having one in the mornings, I never used to fall asleep during the day. And once I started doing that, I noticed that in the afternoon, I was falling asleep.
Have a slump.
And I think it's because there's a carryover effect, reducing my sleep quality in the nighttime subsequent to that. And then you're more tired during the day. And then you're having to just stumble your way into like having more coffees to keep yourself propped up.
And then there was a time when you had a slightly too heaped teaspoon of coffee.
Heart rate just 100 the whole day. That was my...
You messaged me and Johnny just saying, guys, had a heaped teaspoon of coffee this morning.
Because that'll have been like still way under 100 milligrams of caffeine.
Probably.
They've gone from like 65 to 80 or something like that.
Ruined me.
So I...
I've got the data to show for it as well. I can include... I'll see if I can find the screenshot.
So I've been back on coffee for 2 weeks. And I went... So the morning of me having my first coffee, the day before, I realised that someone had stolen my data online. Oh. So I started getting letters. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, right, okay, so I've got to deal with this. But I was like, no, bollocks, I'm going to the coffee shop. So I like delayed dealing with it. Went to Ouseburn Coffee, if anyone's been there in
nice place.
Newcastle. Lovely. Ordered an AeroPress coffee. So this used to be like bread and butter for me. Like this used to be just like...
Whereas this was like the... You had to get the little axe out and break the thing.
And So extremely productive morning. Like almost painfully productive morning. Mm-hmm. The next day, had one. And I was like, right, want more of that. Had a second one. Massive mistake. Massive mistake. So you and I were on a coaching call at the time. And I remember sitting there thinking... Like, I've literally overdone it here. You can't go back. There's nothing you can do.
There's no undo button with coffee. It's horrible.
And you feel it take you away and you're like, shit, this is going to be in my system for 8 hours.
Because that's the difference. Like, with heroin, if someone overdoses on heroin, you can give them naloxone, which is fantastic because it just instantly reverses it and people just come out of their slump and, like, they'll hate you for it because they'll have been having a nice time.
That was their trip.
Yeah, but... Caffeine, I feel like...
No fix.
You've just got to
ride it, ride the wave.
So, as a proper... And I, like, love coffee as well. So, I normally have no time for people who advise these sorts of things. Mm. Especially because you don't
like... The likes of me.
You don't like coffee.
I had 3 decafs today, actually.
Did you?
People made me them. So right. It's like, right, fine.
But you wouldn't, like, savor a nice coffee or buy, like, nice coffee beans. No. So... I am like that, was like that. So giving up was really difficult to do, but definite benefit. So now...
What's your relationship with coffee now?
I never thought I'd hear you say this. Like, I feel like this is a...
He's going to relapse soon, Johnny. He's going to relapse
soon. Maybe I will.
The real Johnny's tied up somewhere, and this is the android that's like...
I think having seen the effect of having two coffees and realising that I had blunted that is such a strong, like... Fuck me, like, I need to be careful with this stuff.
So are you going to start using it strategically after the 30 days is up?
The 30 days is gone.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So back at it.
Just at 1 a.m.
Fine.
So this was actually in the... So George...
We have a podcast about this. And like
we do.
Johnny has a protocol on how to reset your coffee addiction without just going cold turkey. Because there is
not what I did.
There is real caffeine withdrawal effects. Like, you will get headaches and everything. And it's not psychogenic. It's like, it is pharmacologic effect of it.
Weirdly, I actually found... switching to tea easier than using decaf.
Right, okay.
But I think just because you aren't like having a shit version of something, you're like having...
Well, decaf's zero caffeine, isn't it?
Or is I think it still has some in trace. Okay. Yeah. But also like it's not as...
Less than tea.
If you like coffee... Yeah, it's less than tea.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like coffee, it's awful. It's just not as nice.
It's just a knockoff
version. But like experimenting with different teas and it is an interesting experience.
And but so, also a complete waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I did something called... I did a video of the standard fitness morning routine, which I like to call the anxiety cocktail. Because what people do is they'll get themselves out of bed. First thing they do, check the news feed on Instagram... check if they've got neurotically check if they've had any likes or anything. Skip breakfast.
Well, you want to externalize, you want to get outside of yourself as fast as possible, don't you?
Yeah,
first
exactly.
thing in the morning.
So you want to sensitize yourself to other people's approval and make sure to prime your body for stress. So you do that, then you skip breakfast, so make sure that you get yourself into the most sympathetic dominant, glucagon dominant state that you can. Then you've got this cortisol awakening response. You've got a natural surge of stress hormones coming in, peaking at around 45 minutes. That's the perfect time to have a big cup of coffee so that when that starts to get absorbed, it just doubles on that stress response. You get all of that stuff. And then you go sit over a computer, hunched over, and multitask and only look at things that are 30 centimetres away for the
artificial
whole
light.
An artificial light. Make sure to hammer that. And that is how.
And you don't turn your notifications off on your laptop.
Oh, God, yes. I have your notifications coming in all the time, yeah. Making you flip between tasks. And that is how to engineer anxiety in yourself. And I mean, check out the video, it's on our Instagram. But I look at the rate of anxiety searches on Google from 2004 to now, and it's doubled. And we wonder why.
Mm. I did an interview today with Recovery for Life, which is a substance abuse and mental health facility in Newcastle. They help people out of substance. They don't give them mental health right. problems and substance abuse addictions.
Right, yeah.
That would be
awful.
It would be a poor business model.
It's like the hate crime charity that funds hate crimes.
Jesus Christ. Rapist for a
Does
therapist.
That exist? No.
All right, okay.
The rape.
Awful charity.
What was that thing I sent you? The strength therapist.
Strength therapist.
The strength therapist.
Like the paediatrician that got a brick thrown through his window.
It was off people that read The Sun, though, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Have you done... Is that... That's not your one.
No.
What's your one?
Mine is, and Jet, Shell, BP are all going to be upset at me for this because it's not really safe, and I... This is a life
hack... Making your own fuel, are you?
No. This is a life hack
I wouldn't be surprised.
Importing it from Yemen.
Yeah. I'm not saying... I mean, it's certainly...
The Yemeni fuel is...
It's against the regulations of these places, and it's just what I do. I'm not saying you should... But when it's a cold day and you want to fill up your car with petrol, or when I want to fill up my car with petrol, I put the thing in, take the cap, squeeze it underneath the handle, and then get back in the car. And then the petrol...
Hands-free filling.
Hands-free. It'll fill up and it'll stop on its own account. You can then get back out.
You know where you want to go?
Unhook it.
Any city centre Shell between the hours of 12 and 5 on a weekday.
Is there a dude doing it?
Forecourt.
Really?
Attendant, yeah. How much do you want, mate?
I just don't care.
Fill her up.
You know what I have really changed my opinion of? The frequency of filling my car.
Full tank of gas. Are you going full tank of gas?
Yeah, I have.
Yes! Get in! Chalk one up on the board for Williams.
So there's an interesting story.
Did we argue about this on one of the earlier life hacks?
Fucking right, like did we?
The story of why is that I got started on a petrol station.
Oh, no. You want to minimise the number of times.
So I got started on in my local petrol station.
Oh, I remember about
what happened?
This.
I've never heard of this. Who by?
I don't have no idea.
Like,
started on. Really... I'll explain. So the format of the petrol station is ridiculous. So
format?
There's a mini Tesco and the pumps are just off the road. So you come off the road and you're immediately in a pump. So that means that the queues for the pump...
On the road.
Move out onto the road. So I had filled up, this was like 5:30, going into the... walking into the Tesco. And as I'm doing that, a guy's like... hammering his horn, parked behind me, turn around, and there's a guy like gesturing, and I just went like that, like, I don't know what you mean, you know, fuck off, I'm just gonna move my petrol. Walked in, so I was with my girlfriend at the time, she filled up at a separate pump, also had shit from someone separate.
What?
Both walked in. I know, ridiculous. Both walked in, and I'm standing in the queue, and this guy just runs into Tesco. You fucking, who the fuck do you think you are? And I was like, and I just remember, it must have looked really weird to him, because I was just confused. I was like...
the problem is, Johnny, you have very irreverent body language. And so I think... unintentionally,
it's casual to say the least.
Yeah. I'm very confrontational accidentally.
So people either see you as unapproachable or
aggressive,
escalating the situation.
So it didn't mean, so
was just, I'm sure there was just pure confusion going on.
He said, what the fuck are you doing? Who do you think you are?
He said, why didn't you move out and started shouting this? And I said, because that's not what people do at a petrol station.
That doesn't help things either.
But so there was a security guard whole time.
The same, like, teaching him how to
nothing, absolutely nothing. So I'm still queuing while this guy is just on the other side of the like tiny barrier that exists in to order queues, and he saw that as being a glass wall that he couldn't go past. So he's like getting like really, but standing still, sort of a meter away from me, and I'm trying to ignore him. Get to the front of the queue. Go to the guy. Pump number.
It's the same law that governs when you have a ninja film and there's two people fighting in the middle of a circle and everyone around the outside is like that. but they're not.
Yeah. No one's helping.
Yeah.
And the guy behind the till was like, calm down, mate, calm down, don't do anything. I was like, it's okay, I'm not about to fight that man. Like,
why is he telling you to calm down?
I just want to go home.
Put my socks on.
And I then left. Started walking out, and Becca's like just shell shocked by the whole thing. So she ran off to her car, and I was kind of like looking over my shoulder. And the guy again like followed me, but stayed a distance behind. And then I just got in my car and drove off.
Aren't people bizarre?
It was all because you didn't move away.
He felt like I should have filled up and then moved my car forward into space.
I've never seen anyone do that.
That would have blocked someone else coming round, and it would have been mayhem. Mm-hmm. But so what? What I think he got annoyed about was me doing that. But all I was trying to say was like, I don't know
what the fuck you're doing.
If you got something to say, get out of the car.
Well, that's what he did.
But then he didn't say what he... Like, only after the fact did he... Like, not, excuse me, would you mind? But like, you want to say, mate, there is a queue, there is a fixed rate of processing here. You're going to have to wait the same amount of time.
Do you remember when...
But anyway, so now I fill up my car.
Nice. Do you remember when that guy got... upset because I got near his beer in Nando's.
I remember.
Your reaction was very good to that, I thought. Because the guy, I can't remember what he said to you.
So I was walking down a set of steps in Nando's. We'd been for food. And this guy was sat down with his family at like 3 PM on a Saturday having a beer, like as you do when you're a dad with your daughter. And we went down and I was the closest to the table as you walk in tandem.
You weren't lurching over the table.
I was at least 2 feet. I was at least 2 feet away from his beer.
Right.
And as I walked past, he said, watch it, mate. And I turned around and looked at him as he sat down. And just looked. He said, you nearly hit me beer? Just went, oh. And walked off.
Yeah, like, okay, or something.
Yeah, oh.
Right. What was the life hack out of that?
Fill up your car with the full...
No, that wasn't even a life hack.
It was you. So I am going to do... So when you go... Me?
No, you said one, didn't you?
You just did one.
Oh, you've gone...
No,
I see. That was just...
That wasn't... Yeah, yeah. This is what happens. This is why I don't have a life hack ready.
Yeah, I see.
I'm about to go now.
Need an MC.
I'm going to... Video Guy Dean can compare.
VMD.
I'm going to go now, and then you're going to go. You're going to go after me, okay?
Got it.
So how warm his forearm is.
Oh, this is a problem.
Can I have a go?
That's what happens when there's lots of fluid rushing around.
It's the high pressure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turgid.
I think if I squeeze enough, it will pop.
That's not because you've got good grip strength as well.
Probably not enough to pop that.
Okay. So when you go away on holiday, especially if you're going away on a party holiday abroad, the best way. That's how you party, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
The best way to make sure that your luggage is not wasteful and also to remove any torment from
2 liters of shampoo.
And to get it I'm so glad you raised it.
And to get it confiscated by the Scottish woman at the checkout.
You can't
take
that.
Then woo her into letting you take it, but then on the way back, get stopped by some angry German woman at the airport who won't let you take
Chris
it.
Chris tried to take 4 kilos of Tresemme shampoo to Iceland.
For a 3-day trip.
Well, it was the only size I had.
Fair enough.
I had nothing to decant it
into. It was all brand new, unopened.
I didn't have any shampoo. It was an awkward time of batching, and I was bulk buying. Anyway.
What was more awkward was the shower.
It smelled like eggs, didn't it, in Iceland?
And you had to kneel down.
You did have to kneel down. Well, you had to lie, didn't you? You were just flat.
I had to lie and just douse myself in egg warm water.
So, when you're going away...
4 kilos of Tresemme shampoo to make it better.
When you are going away on holiday, plan your outfits for the nighttime in advance. Ideally, if you can plan the daytime as well. But rather than just arbitrarily throwing volumes of clothes, underwear, socks, trousers, etc. So, perfect example of this. We went away to Vegas for my business partner, Stag Do. I was rooming with a guy. The guy who I was rooming with planned his outfit for night one, night two, night three, and night four in advance, including accessories. So, a handkerchief or a tie, a shirt, cufflinks, whatever he needed. And then he got there, laid them out. First one, second one, third one, fourth one. On an evening time, he knew exactly what he was going to wear. First advantage, which is huge because you've outsourced the decision-making, not only to a time when you've got a little bit more awareness, but also to one where you're not on fucking holiday, supposed to be enjoying yourself. And then secondly, he had no wastage of clothes. Everything got worn. Nothing got wasted. And that was it. Like, it's an unbelievable tactic. And I bet that girls do it. Actually, no, I bet that girls just pack fucking loads of stuff, don't they?
So I try and do it, but what's happened to me a couple of times is, something's got dirty or like something's happened and then suddenly the whole thing's out of sorts.
Throw it into disarray.
You know what you need there? Yeah. You need 2 neutral pieces of buffer clothing.
Yeah, you do.
Pale blue shirt, pair of blue jeans.
Floating t-shirts that could be used.
Yeah, couple of pairs of pants, spare pants, couple of pairs of spare socks and that's it. But like the key bits, like if you get your blazer dirty, like whatever, go in your shirt. You'll be fine.
Go topless.
Go topless, yeah. Get your top off.
Tapless.
Taps off. Right.
Is it me?
Yeah. You weren't ready.
Can't leave her without a you.
Thanks for filler. Keep doing it.
My leg feels like a turkey breast.
One all.
Okay.
Spend time by yourself.
Ooh, nice.
Funny because there are people that spend the only time they spend by themselves is when they're physically asleep.
Yeah,
like
probably with a partner next to them. So spend time by yourself. Do you mean spend time alone with your own thoughts? Because you can be by yourself in a car driving, but listen to the radio or podcast or reading.
So yeah, I think with
being on your own on your phone talking to people is still not by yourself.
Good point. Also,
yeah.
So. For people who are kind of interested in self-development, it's probably meditation. It's a good way of, you are completely by yourself at that point and all that exists is you and your thoughts. But I think just trying to take time away from constantly trying to impress other people, you know, I'm thinking of the standard kind of 9-to-5 worker life.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I just think you can...
Stimulus.
You things... build up in you and are left unchecked.
Especially if you work with people, because then you're sat in other people's energy field constantly.
Yeah.
With crowded people, and you accumulate emotional fatigue as well, where if you're in a customer facing, or even if you're not, but particularly customer facing or client facing service delivery type jobs, you have to maintain this kind of saccharine smile all the time or a professional face that wears you down over time. And then by the end of the day, that has to be shaken off, and it can only really be done when
discharge
with yourself for some time. And it's the reason why, like, you know, you have the standard, someone comes home after a hard day at work or a day working where they have to talk to people and the partner's like, oh, how's it going? You're like, I don't want to talk to anyone. Leave me alone.
Yeah,
and they're the last person that you want to vent on.
So it's one something I get, a benefit I get from the gym, even though I get criticized that I'm not very social. Like, I quite like, it's just like, me, a difficult task, my thoughts. It's not complicated.
Which like is why in relationships,
but you do have you do have your phone.
I do have my phone. I do.
That's so for me to upgrade that the gym
don't
experience.
Take my phone.
Yeah, leave the phone behind. Mm. Use if you need to track your lifts. Use a whiteboard if you're at a proper good gym. Or
I still haven't done that. That was Life Hacks 101, and I still need to
put your phone away, man.
Well, when you give up your phone, you get the Apple Shuffle.
Yeah, I think I'll need to replace it with another.
So one of the problems is using obviously a modern phone for a lot of people is their music,
Bluetooth headphones,
where they take notes,
sat nav.
Yeah, it's so loads,
Bluetooth headphones fixes the music problem.
Mm.
Notepad and pen fixes tracking lift.
Fine.
So the time alone thing I like.
Mm.
You've said a model for people who maybe aren't doing as much introspective work.
Mm.
But then moving forward, if we've mentioned this before, I can't remember where. If you were told to go and sit in a room for 30 minutes on your own and you couldn't meditate with nothing to do, no stimulus.
Mm.
I would say even for me as an only child who spends the vast majority of his time on his own, that would be pretty testing.
So that, you know, Moment.
Yep.
You know, the pro version of Moment. That you, I don't think. Did I you? Got have,
it.
You did. So on the phone boot camp thing of that, mm-hmm. that was one of the tasks. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing it.
Did you? 30 minutes in a room without meditating?
No, just sit on a chair.
What happened?
You just sit and think. Like you just.
What do you think about
it? You do it in the house.
Yeah.
Is it annoying to be lost in thought when you spend a lot of time sat on your own in silence trying to not be lost in thought when you meditate?
I don't. So at the time, I didn't give it that much thought. Weirdly, I was like, I'm just going to go sit there for half an hour. It's not that long.
Becca comes in. What are you doing?
She's used to it now. Like, weird shit that I do. So, like...
Were you facing the wall as well? Facing the corner? So, it's just...
I was just sat. I think I... Yeah, just sat looking at the ceiling.
Fair enough. Well, I like
interesting
that.
Test.
Spend some time. I mean, you can double this up. There's so much low-hanging fruit for stuff like this. You can double it up with going in nature.
Mm.
Like, add that on top. Go bare feet.
Yeah,
go
time alone in nature, bare feet. Lovely.
That's so much low-hanging fruit from
so
one
we've
thing.
We've been
right?
through this. I have no attraction to the nature thing.
Oh, man, it blows my mind.
I don't know why. So apart from the beach, I like the beach.
Every morning and every evening now, I'm doing probably maybe between 2 and 5 minutes of just standing outside and just, even if it's rain, even if it's been absolutely pouring down before, first thing in the morning, go outside and stand in the rain.
So I should say for those who want some kind of reason to do this, that there are physiological benefits to being at the beach, breathing the negative ions that are released from the salt in the sea or from some kind of pheromone-like compound that trees release. So if you go into nature around lots of greenery, they have some kind of tranquilizing effect.
You also you did a meta-analysis on earthing?
Yeah, I mean, to call it a meta-analysis is a bit of a stretch.
I think that's what you called it.
I looked at a lot of the research on grounding, yeah, and that does, as hippy-dippy as it sounds, have some
standing on grass and bare feet. So I think
like
the main thing...
salivary cortisol.
The main thing for me, aside from believing any of the woo-woo stuff, is I'd just like to be outside for a little bit. First thing in the morning, first and last thing at night, after a shower, hot shower, and then outside. At the moment, it's really cold. But for some reason, just being able to look up at the sky, see the stars, see the moon, feel the wind broadly, it's really, really grounding. And it's very present because you're forced to, with zero distractions, you're forced to only experience the sensations which are occurring then and there. So it's quite a nice...
I think thinking about it, I think what has pissed me off about the whole thing is a business coach that told me to do it.
Yeah.
Isn't it horrible that people can spoil things for you like that? Like Aubrey Marcus, I would love to try bone broth.
Mm, but he's just annoyed you.
Aubrey letting his bird get blasted all over by her boyfriend.
Blasted.
Flying off to Texas to get pasted by some fucking jock.
I would recommend salt and water, salt and lemon and water.
Would
in
you?
The morning. Yeah.
Yeah, but Aubrey says it.
Give it a shot.
His wife's getting...
But he also talks about...
Destroyed by some 21-year-old.
Yeah. But you don't know what he's up to.
Listen, Aubrey, he's in hospital with half a face.
Oh, is he? What's he done?
Crashed his car. Got half a face. Unfortunate. Still went to Burning Man, though, didn't he? Go on, Aubrey. Right, let's go on.
So, in last Life Hacks episode...
105.
We covered Toby... which is a Chrome extension that allows you to put a bunch of stuff. It sounds lame, but to put a bunch of different things into, like, so you can have a reading queue, a listening queue, a watching queue. And so it allows you to capture things that people send you and arrange them in a certain way.
It's a very clever bookmark manager.
Really, really good for that. And it allows you to have one across the top that's like frequently visited websites. And also you can save sessions. So if you have multiple sessions open, multiple tabs open, you want to resume that later, you can save it all down and call it the name of a certain project. So you can have, like, if you're working on a project for one thing and that requires four websites to be open, you can save it on there and so on. So that's Toby. It's only available on Chrome. There isn't a phone equivalent. And so I needed something that allows me, when I don't have my laptop and I want to work through the queue of articles that you guys have sent me, and I want to read them, to be able to quickly access them without thinking, oh, where was it? Scroll back through the messages or any of that nonsense, and just be able to quickly resume that. So I use Pocket for that. There is an equivalent app called Instapaper. Now, Pocket is great, but they updated it last week to include a text-to-speech function.
Ooh. I thought it already had that.
So they've made it more natural sounding now. Right. Before it was like a mental voice.
It'll speak a web page at you.
Yeah, but with a sort of Siri-like voice, so it's a bit more natural. So now I'm able to read articles that people have sent me on the drive to work in the morning.
That's cool.
Read, listen.
Listen, yeah. Which is,
it's Pocket incredible. Paid.
There is a paid version, but...
What's the upgrade? What do you get?
You get more than three highlights per article. And no ads, yeah.
I remember looking into Pocket because when I was doing lots of commuting, I remember thinking, I wish I could read articles. So I wish I could have them read to me.
I'd get it now because it's... So there's a Mac version and a phone version. They synchronize. It might even mean that, like, if you haven't got Toby or Pocket yet, start with just Pocket.
See if you can expand out. Yeah. I love Toby.
I'd love to know? Lovely. Whether lots of other people have that need.
Capture. I think the only reason that you would have
capture
that
need for is, articles and things to read later.
The only reason that you would have that need is if you like to read stuff. Like, if you're not, first off, if you're not getting sent or discovering it a lot yourself, and then secondly, if you're not actually bothered about reading it, if loads of your friends send you shit that you don't care about, not a problem.
If your friend sends you something, you just delete.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. Remove the friend.
I think what I normally do when people send me stuff, if it's an article, is I'll skim it. But it, like books or podcasts, I'll do the full thing. And so I have a process that is Audible and podcasts. But articles, I tend to find...
So you have capture and process.
Yeah. So I have on Wunderlist, I have a reading list and a listening list.
Okay.
For those two things.
That's a good one. Let's go. So I'm going to go with 6 Minute Diary because... Johnny, you have recently...
Still doing it. Did it today.
Still going, man. So, 6 Minute Diary, anyone who's been listening for a little while will have heard me bring this up before. It is a daily journal, 3 minutes in the morning, 3 minutes in the evening, prompted questions that are... They're geared towards the things that science says makes you happier. So, gratitude, long-term goals instantiated into daily habits, and... looking for areas of improvement. That's broadly where it works from. Before you start it, there's a 60-page buy-in, which for anyone who does CrossFit will know what that is. It's a moderately large hurdle because it's small text and big pages. It's a lot of reading. It'll take you a few days to get through the 60 pages, depending on your reading speed. And there's like 40 references, I think, in that.
So it's very impressive. It's not just, someone hasn't just put together some space for you to write some gratitude and good deeds and stuff. There's a lot of thinking behind the book.
The quotes that are done every day are pretty...
You know what I think is the best part about it for me is the weekly questions.
Oh, they're awesome. So yeah, every day you do 3 minutes in the morning, 3 minutes in the evening. Some days it takes a little longer, obviously. But broadly, I think that's probably not far off how long it takes.
Yeah.
And it encourages you... Susanna Hallinan, the What Science May Take... What Science Says Makes You Happier podcast that I did with her, on that she said that gratitude is the foundation for happiness. And this is a really good tool to develop. Doing some gratitude. I've never once kept up with a journal before, but I have done with the 6 Minute Diary. And yeah, every week there are some fairly probing questions that force you to do some introspective work. So if you've never actually got round to doing any self-inquiry and some introspective stuff, I think this is a really good place to start. If you think, oh, well, meditation might be a bit woo-woo for me, or you struggle to slow yourself down a little bit, I think it's a first step into introspective work. It's £19 on Amazon. It'll be net. It's on. It's got Amazon Prime, and it's fantastic.
So I bought one for my sister.
No,
she bought one for two of her friends.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Since you got yours,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's what I like about it is, for me to sit and explain to someone, like, I think you should be doing some introspection and try gratitude. And it's like they don't listen.
Yeah.
If you just buy them something, it's a nice gift, and that intro takes them through the benefits, and it's so low commitment.
Yeah, it does tick a lot of boxes because it's the right price point for a good present for someone. Like, yeah. 20 quid is a good price point to get someone a present. It's a low investment in yourself. It lasts for 5 months, and they've just released the 6-minute diary pure,
which is like a,
it's the 7-month one. So between the first one that you get with the intro bit and the second one, you get full 12 months.
Right.
Between the two, but you don't need the buy-in again on the second one.
Thinner.
Yeah.
Got it.
No, same thing, but you've got 2 months extra. Those 60 pages are taken up with 2 months.
Of course.
And I honestly could not recommend it more.
The thing that I've still not done that I really want to do is the first task they tell you to do is send, there are loads of services that you can do to sort of send an email and it'll send it back to you.
Future me.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says like send an email to yourself in 5 months' time of like, stuff you're worrying about, where you'll be.
Mine came through to me. I sent one about 5-6 years ago.
Oh my God.
And it came through to me the other month. I forgot what it said. I think it was...
nothing very profound then.
No, I think it was like the struggles that I had at the time and all that stuff. And I looked back and I was like...
Really?
Yeah, which was nice.
Pussy.
So have you sent another one?
No, I should do.
Should do it.
We should all do it.
Mm.
Fine.
That'd be a good task to do. And so should you, indeed. So, Johnny, you're up next. Should we do one more round each? Or have you got a couple of quick ones if you want to do a few?
I haven't got any quick ones.
I've got loads of quick ones.
So this is a bit nasty. But
oh, dear.
So it's related to some of the stuff that I've been considering with the weekly questions in the 6-minute diary.
Mm-hmm.
But just... So in keeping with the idea that everyone is caught up in the sort of the struggle for happiness and feeling better, earning more, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Asking yourself very probing questions to try and just check that you're on the right path for you and you're making decisions that are right for you. So things like if I die tomorrow, would I be happy with how my life has been so far? Do I feel like I'm making the right decisions? Do I feel like I'm setting good examples for other people? When am I truly happy? When am I truly sad? Where am I sedating to try and get away from the critical questions or the critical things that are really bothering me? And that it's linked to spending time alone and thinking about these things. Because I think that stuff, people talk about self-development and think that that means that they should start reading or that they should start meditating. But actually just sitting and thinking about those questions that are often very difficult to think about. Like, am I actually happy with how my life is now? Like, do I spend good chunks of my time in a good mood or in a bad mood? Who is it that promotes those things? Who is it that worsens those things?
The clue's in the name, right? Self-development. It's an inquiry of the self.
But it's that stuff's not an app and it's not trendy and it's really shit.
The about page of the New Modern Wisdom website, which will be up at some point, is said in that introspective work is an ugly business, and for every one rock that you turn over which is clean underneath, there's 20 which are filthy and something terrifying is hiding below. And you're like, that's the accurate proportion as well.
Yeah,
if you do a little bit of self-inquiry and nothing comes up, you're like, bloody hell. And all that you can be certain of is that the next 19 are going to be fucking shit.
So related to that, asking yourself, like, why am I posting on social media? Why am I drinking? Why am I bitching about this person? And just sitting and thinking. Because there's always like everyone's experience, like
the
real why behind something.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a tendency for I don't want to think about that because it's uncomfortable, so I'll just do this other thing instead.
Is there a guiding principle or a guiding mantra that people can use to bring themselves back to finding the truth and to avoid hiding or to avoid taking the first easy answer that comes to mind when they ask themselves those questions?
That's maybe your worry.
Yeah, so one way to really leverage the power of the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is simply every thought that you are not looking at right now. It's not some mysterious thing.
95% of our actions every day
are just driven are done by that.
Unconscious.
So there are deeper levels below that, which maybe we're not aware of until we start to do... until we start to do more digging deep. But the unconscious mind is very good at pulling together lots of cross correlations of unrelated stuff and processing large volumes of data while you're not paying attention to it, that the brain's always kind of just sifting things over and dealing with that. So if you ask yourself a question that you're not immediately sure of the answer of, you could ask yourself before bed, mull it over for a while, hold it in your consciousness, and then drop it and go to sleep. And then just sleeping and allowing it to process on its own, but with the conscious running intention to answer it, will then start to bring up more and more answers. And you'll have definitely experienced this where you'll have had a problem that you just didn't think about for a while. A few days later, the answer pops into your head because it's just been processing in the background. Or you read a book and then actually concepts from the book start to make a bit more sense after you've had a couple of nights sleep and it comes together again. Greg... what's his name? Talked about this. Greg Potter talked about this as well. Mm-hmm. Same concept. Nice, so man. Ask before bed, especially the probing ones and the ones that may be uncomfortable to answer.
I mean, a lot of things. If
you want to double down on that as well, you can like start taking a dream journal and in the mornings, don't move. Like once you wake up, I know it's hard to remember to do this, but just stay in the same position and try and verbally recall as much of your dream as you had as you can. And then do that for a few days. Once you've done that, you get into the habit of teaching your brain to remember your dreams, write them down, and sometimes symbols do come up in dreams, and they're usually quite obvious.
Is dream symbology, is there much research behind that?
Not the, like, so some people have gone full woo-woo and taken, like, if you see a spider, it means this, and if you see cabbage, it means that. But, like, I think ultimately you will be aware enough of that. If you write it down, then give it a few hours...
You know what's really painful as someone who first off tries to promote reduction in tech use and secondly is working hard on it on his own? I have a lot of dreams that are me on my phone.
Really?
That you write on your phone?
That I am on my phone.
Oh, man.
Which is like being tortured while you're asleep. That's my equivalent of being tortured while I'm asleep.
So a way to lucid dream is to like check your phone or your watch, look away and then look back, and if the numbers are scrambled or they're different...
Finger three hand,
yeah. But then if you're so good at looking at your phone in your dream that actually you can have a full WhatsApp group chat.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Then that's...
That's like the bypass thing for the breaths that I've managed to do with meditation.
You fall into automatic thinking and you...
Well, I'd be able to get to... I think I'd definitely, given a full day, be able to get to 1,000.
So there's a way I found around that.
Okay.
So what I've started doing is... start at the bottom of my left nostril, right? So this is like Crayola meditation, so forgive me. So breath focus on just the bottom of my left nostril, 20 breaths. And then I move slightly around my left nostril and I change when I count the breath. So it might be like 1, 2.
To keep yourself aware.
Well, 1.
But you got a massive PB on
I did.
Breath.
264.
284.
Yeah. Goodness me.
But so then every 20 breaths, you move the location and just change when you note the breath.
Halfway through,
breath 1.
Are you doing 1-2? 1.
In and out is 1 breath.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's so weird is I can move all the way around my nostril and it's laser focus on my left nostril. And I'm like, so aware of my left nostril. Switching my right nostril isn't close to impossible. Because I'm like, no, that was my left. That's some left. And I have a bit of right.
Well,
the right
hemisphere of your brain is responsible for viewing and sensing everything on the left-hand side of your body.
Right, and the other way.
And the left hemisphere is responsible for that. And the left and right are also responsible for different thought patterns.
Different things.
So I wonder if
perhaps
the left side of your brain is struggling a little bit more with the mindfulness.
So what it feels like is just, because by the time I change nostrils, it's like 150 breaths of just all I've been thinking about for like... 15 minutes. That's just this nostril. And it feels like changing is quite challenging.
Yeah. But it's the big old wall to get over.
The thing that Yusuf said after his retreat of like people getting really caught up in the complexities of meditation, and the guy just kept saying,
focus on your fucking breath.
Tip of your nose.
The teacher was very good at, like, for 5 days, there's the daily meeting with the teacher, and everyone gets to go up and speak to him for 5 minutes. And people will have these, like, little stories about, like, and the only practice you have in the first 5 days is focus on this part and breathe.
That's all you do for 10 hours a day.
Like, oh, but I'm experiencing this thing, and I'm struggling with here, and I'm getting this tingling sensation. And he'd be like, just focus on the breath. Keep your attention on the nose, on the inhale, and on the exhale, and between the breaths. You have 3 jobs.
That's a man who's done it before, isn't
yeah.
it? Sick to death.
What did Maybe 20 say?
Maybe 20 didn't say anything.
Of course he was.
So whenever he was called up, he'd be like...
I love Maybe 20.
He was deep. Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know the story about when Yusuf went away on a meditation retreat, he sat down opposite an Indian man, Indian heritage.
On the first day before they put down the noble silence,
mm-hmm.
And there was an Indian man in a skirt, and I was like, "Hi, is this your first retreat?" And he was like, "No." I was like, "Okay, have you been on any before?" And he's like, maybe 20. I'm like, wow, this guy.
Maybe 20, man. I want to be friends with
him. Can
we find him on Twitter? At maybe 20.
You won't have Twitter, Chris.
Think about it.
At maybe 20.
If he has...
Because he has to change it all the time. We better get him now. He's maybe 21 now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he must be.
Bearing in mind that every retreat's 100 hours and this man's done 20.
At maybe 20.
Yeah, is there someone called at maybe 20 on it on Twitter, dude?
Spent at least 7 or 8 months.
Maybe 20? Well, he's on 21 now.
Retreats. Assuming he has no practice outside of meditation retreats, which is very unlikely.
Oh, yeah, true.
Maybe 20?
Seven or 8 months of time of detention.
Because the reason that I count my breaths, I'm derailing this, but the reason I count my breaths is because of your podcast with Daniel Ingram.
Where you still need to listen to
that. Yusuf was just like, give me a... Which is what I was like, Yusuf, just for fuck's sake.
Program it.
Ask him, like, how do I start with meditation? And he was just saying... If you just sit for 20 minutes and you're kind of like vaguely focused, like that's an okay session. If you get to 100 breaths, good session. Try and get to 1,000. Just use it as a way of measuring progress. It just makes sense to me. It's how I do everything else in my life.
Sets and reps.
And it's very transparent, very measurable.
Have you tried the one where you do, this is what I've done, and this is a Headspace one. Breathe in and out for 1, up to 10.
Hands in the arms.
Down.
Resting.
To the legs. Count to 10 and then stop the focus on the breath, completely quiet the mind, completely blank the mind, and allow all thoughts to just be reflections in the pool. So you're not actually focusing on anything. And that's a really good one because that's as much silence as you can get without attaching yourself. Because when you're focusing on the breath, you are still focusing on the thought of this is the sensation, this is the number.
So it doesn't feel like that. Because it's sensation, and it's almost like thought. Gone. Sensation. Thought. No, fuck off. Gone.
But without the sensation at all is what this next bit was. It was interesting.
I feel like we're getting... Can you focus on nothing?
Is this Floodlight versus Spotlight here?
There's a third... I don't know if we want to get into this, but yeah. Spotlight is you have an object of meditation and you're focusing on that. Floodlight is that you have open focus and you are the point of awareness that anything is going through.
Any sensation, awareness. That's what you focus on.
So Floodlight, there is no object. You are just
What's the third?
Open focus. The third one is the self-inquiry, which is similar to Floodlight, but you are turning the subject of consciousness back on itself.
Like, who is it that's thinking?
Yeah.
Who is it that's hearing
the
noise?
It's weird because conceptually, like, you can't taste your own tongue or feel your own finger or see your own eye.
I can.
Of course I can.
Of course I absolutely can. What do you mean?
Chris can believe it's not butter as well, so...
Yeah, you were saying that before, weren't you?
Yeah, earlier on. It's one of the life hacks.
He thinks Marmite's okay. Yeah. So
yeah. One of the few.
Mine. So did we do sinus rinse?
No.
Last time.
No.
I am obsessed with the Neelmed sinus rinse. I got this from Dr. Clay Height, who's a natural bodybuilder, old T Nation guy. Natural? He advertises.
He's a bodybuilder.
Clay likes lifting weights.
And
so I have a confession.
Okay.
I used mine.
Right.
And I didn't record me using it.
Oh, no.
So nothing dramatic happened.
Didn't it? Well, I've got a video of dramatic things happening using my sinus rinse, so I can send it to Video Mandine, and he can decide whether
really
to put
nice.
It.
Really nice.
What is it?
So what it is a... It's recommended by ENT, ear, nose and throat doctors as well, often, because if you have chronic sinusitis, lots of sinus infections, atopy, hay fever, any of those kind of things where your sinuses are blocked...
Atopy.
Like, so if you get a general constellation of like eczema and hay fever and itchy nose and all that stuff, go and just check this out. Watch the video of me doing it and you'll be like, oh, I want to do that. It's a bottle, squeezy bottle of saline solution, and you squeeze it into your nostril, comes out the other nostril and clears out all of the gunk that's in your nose at the same time. Do it in the morning.
Surely you must have to lovely. Position your tongue and you...
So you have to, yeah...
Do you mind?
Go for it.
So, Yusuf told me about this, right? I ordered some. I, standing in my bathroom, bottle, salt, read the back, do not use tap water. It's like, cast back to Iceland.
I use tap
sure,
water.
Sure, Yusuf used tap water. It's not the sort of thing that he would... I'll just use bottle water. Bottle water, put the salt in, and then it's like, point up nose and squeeze.
Never do it without the salt as well. It knacks.
Really?
Yeah, with the salt, perfectly painless and lovely, but without the salt. So it's like you've done a backflip in a pool and you
Yeah. Oh, right, I see.
Horrible.
So I am, bottle in my nose, and I'm thinking, like, rationally, what do I understand about my nose? Like, I think that this goes up and then probably in. And then I imagine down.
Somewhere.
And I know that I breathe, like... That goes in my lungs.
Yeah.
I don't want water going in my lungs.
Yeah.
And it says, come out the other nostril. I'm thinking, well, how can that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But here I go. So you're like, you have to bend down. I suppose that's what prevents it from. And you squeeze and there's a delay. You're like, squeeze. And you're like, that happens. You feel your face fill up. And it just goes, shh. And you're like, oh.
You got it first time. People don't always get it first time.
Oh, really? Just, I think I'm so used to just...
You're good at just following in. Yeah.
things that feel a bit unusual, a bit strange, gonna do it anyway.
Have you ever had an enema?
No.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you let us video it?
Not the first time.
From the top half. Caffeine enema. Ben Greenfield's big into them.
What is a caffeine enema?
Just coffee in your bum.
Okay.
I'm not convinced.
As soon as you say coffee.
Maybe 20.
Maybe 20.
I think it's a very pseudoscientific thing, but people love it.
Why is it good having stuff put up your bum?
I don't think it is. I think it...
Removing healthy bacteria and shit.
Is it good to have anything put up your bum? Any liquids put up your bum? Like, should people have water put up their bum? Saline?
Is it good having anything up your bum?
So is it enema is just having saline up your bum and... All the poo come out.
Yeah, I mean, I think unless there's a problem and you need to, I would stay away from putting things in your bum.
I mean,
I think that's a safe.
Several million years of evolution would have programmed something in.
There's a guy we know who owns a business that's just putting poo up people's bums.
Poo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Poo.
Like, people with problems, he puts poo up. Proper poo. They don't have the poo that's right poo. They haven't got the proper poo. And so he gets people who have got the good poo, and he puts the poo, the good poo up there.
Johnny, then. I would pay you to teach medicine. Just like, what you have to do is like read the textbook, process it into...
Johnny, that kind of speak, right.
How much would I have to pay you to let me put someone else's poo in your bum?
Without medical supervision?
No, medical supervision.
So hold on. So do I need the poo up my bum?
No.
So you're just putting it up my bum?
As you are right now.
How are you going to do it?
Well, however I'm advised by the medical personnel.
Okay.
It's a proper procedure. But it's someone else's poo.
$250,000.
$200,000? So you wouldn't do it for $100,000?
100 grand.
100 grand. You wouldn't put someone else's poo up your bum.
So I understand that when I say yes, you'll go 90, because this is what I do to people, because I do it all the time. For the sake of this podcast, 250 grand. Once we stop recording,
you've priced yourself out of the
once
market.
Once we stop recording, you and I can have some conversations.
Being frank, I think you've priced yourself out of the market.
There is no market. This is the market.
No deal.
And if you want to put poo on my bum,
I don't think you're going to find a buyer for that.
But the Chris is the only buyer.
I'm not selling. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
But you are selling because 250 grand.
It's like someone coming up to you and saying, "I want your house."
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a level of hassle associated that's irrelevant of the price.
Right, but you just factor that into the price.
So, which I've done.
250 grand. Mate, you are overpricing your ass.
In your opinion.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, you're the master of your own.
If you want to put poo in my bum, there's the number.
How much would I have to pay you to put your own poo back in your bum?
What, using a tool or just trying to skip it?
No, like, medical.
I'm doing it this time.
No.
You're doing it.
But it's your poo and you know
it's
your
poo. Are you actually doing this? You're going to be... Right, I see. Plot thickens.
He's playing with the variables here.
So again, is it medically supervised?
Yes.
By
it's the exact same. It's everything
by people that like just... are your mates that are doctors or
not by him. Not by him.
Right.
he's not there. He's gone.
I'd do that for 50 grand.
So
to put your own poo back in your.
So 200 grand is the differential between someone else's poo and your poo.
Yeah.
200 grand. What are you worried about?
These are just arbitrary figures, Chris. And what am I worried about?
I mean, you've just removed.
What am I worried about? Someone else's poo, and that Yusuf has just said, I would steer clear of putting anything up your bum.
Video Man Dean's thinking like, I've brought extra batteries.
What I really want to know.
4K here, guys. Like,
I really want to know is how much would you have to be paid to have someone else's poo put up your bum?
Is the person whose poo it is disease free?
Yes.
Oh.
Fine.
Well, yeah, really? How much?
50 grand.
And how much for your own poo?
£1,000.
£1,000.
That's a big discount there, mate. I'll take it.
Because your factor of differentiation is much greater than mine.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'd have to do a bit of reading. Give me 2 hours and I'll come back with a revised offer. I might lower it. I might drop it to 2 grand.
Why would you lower it? Like, there's no incentive to lower it if he's agreed to pay it.
I haven't agreed to 50 yet. I've agreed to 1.
Because I'm £250,000.
Because I'm a bargain.
Yeah.
You are a bargain.
Plus, let's be honest, it would be more funny if it happened to you than me.
It would.
It would make for good content, wouldn't it?
It would be fantastic content. Right, my final one. What am I going to do? Okay, so... I've mentioned this on the How to Get Lean for Your Summer Holiday podcast, but didn't go into it with quite so much detail or as much fervor. Skyr and natural set yogurt.
I swear, every life hacks, you say Skyr. and it's always like, oh, that's a new one.
And Skyr, I feel like every time you get annoyed and I'm like, Chris... Honestly, mate, I couldn't agree more. Do you remember when, just shortly after I nearly died in Iceland of cold, you and I got back to the...
Was this when we got flat. Drenched?
This was the first night.
Yeah.
The night after, and very, honestly, close to death.
Yeah.
Got back, and I'd bought strawberry Skyr, and I just remember thinking, this is honestly... I was like, upset
I'm alive.
That I wouldn't be able to replicate it. It was so nice.
I think we'd all convinced ourselves that because it was Icelandic, like, because Icelandic people are really good at convincing you that if something's Icelandic, it's worth £9,500 and it'll be really nice.
Well, they just call even the butter.
The butter.
Icelandic butter.
Icelandic water.
Coffee. And so you're like, oh, Icelandic butter. That eating it with a spoon, you're like.
But the Skyr was brilliant.
Bloody lovely. What's crazy to me is that Arla, the... dairy company.
So I don't like them that much.
Have managed to buy the word Skyr.
Wow.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because that's like someone owning yogurt in China.
So I bet the Icelandic people are just like...
It's like someone
We don't care. We have enough Skyr over here for all of us.
As I've experienced firsthand, their Skyr is superior.
It's head and shoulders above
everything. And so like, you it wouldn't bother you if it was
the macros on it are unbelievable as well.
It's a protein supplement essentially.
It is.
If you owned a company for argument's sake was like the name of a fruit and you made bikes, and then another company that was also called the name of that fruit was able to sue you because they had a monopoly on a fruit, you'd think that was ridiculous. And yet Skier can own Skier. They can own a type of dairy product. Still don't know if I'm at liberty to say if
to we, say any of these words.
If we get a cease and desist.
We will. We
do
always
do. We will?
So what do you think about Fahe?
I've not heard that. I don't even know what it is.
F-A-G-E.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Fahe, yeah.
F-A...
Total yogurt.
You must have done.
No.
You will have seen it.
It's like the emperor of the dairy
It's always
world.
In the supermarkets. It's like the big...
It's £5.
Total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made by Fahe.
that I didn't get. Fudge. I know what total is.
Fudge yogurt. So the that zero, not the... Because some people buy the two or the full. If you buy full fat yogurt, it's like being punched in the stomach.
It's just full fat.
Calories wise.
It's the full fat Coke argument again, isn't it? What are you drinking full fat Coke for?
You had it before double
Dead
deckers.
Calories, man.
I have it with.
Johnny had a kilo thing of yogurt with four double deckers in it.
Gotta hit my macros, man.
Is this when you were
powerlifting? The great thing about... No, I was cutting at the time. The great thing about both of them, double-decker is a 250-calorie serving of mainly carbs and fat. Fantastic. So
you
if
get
you know
a complete
that,
macro meal if you just put four double-deckers in.
A tub of total yogurt is roughly 50 grams of protein, little bit of carbs, zero fat. Mix them together. What have you got? You've got a creamy double-decker-based dessert.
I'd rather have like a fish and chips.
Me too.
Was that available at the time?
Fish and chips.
I was in Tesco. I was in Sainsbury's.
Oh, I see.
Trying to make ends meet. And instead of making ends meet, yogurt and double decker.
Wow.
I really agree. I think Tesco own brand low fat yogurt, low fat Greek style yogurt.
Yep.
Is the
so you want that with one scoop of protein powder, some blueberries,
great,
a little bit of mixed nuts,
honey.
No.
Oh, you got half honey.
Don't need the carbs.
What do you mean you don't need the carbs? It's not about needing.
This is a man who just ate a saurine dipped into a pot of yogurt as a mid-podcast.
That did not happen.
Yogurt is the blank canvas of my life. Like, so many things go with yogurt for me.
I dip saurine in yogurt.
If I don't know what to have, it starts with yogurt.
Well, cheese. It's the cheese
great.
Of the sweet world, isn't it?
It is.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Cheese is the savoury yogurt.
It's just cheese, just unfortunately... They've tried to make high-protein, low-fat cheeses, and it just doesn't cut it.
I've seen it, that blue stuff.
It's not very nice. It tastes like tasteless Parmesan. It's got this texture of Parmesan without the rich flavours.
Fuck it, man.
How do you feel about dairy?
Good.
Yeah.
I like it, but I'm having to limit it because of my oestrogen experiment. There's a lot of things I can't do with my oestrogen experiment at the moment.
When does it finish? Principally, can't
Six
touch
weeks
receipts.
Time.
How many weeks?
6 weeks.
How long has it been going?
I'll retest my hormone panel.
6 weeks.
Yeah, and then we'll find out.
I think what will happen is it'll be slightly different, but we'll be looking at two isolated sets of data that anything could be influencing, and you'll have just not touched receipts.
I just want to get back to using shower gel.
Yeah.
And
because currently you're using...
E-cover washing up liquid.
You're using...
In a ceramic...
In a ceramic pot.
Yeah. Can we just say the sentence again of what you're doing in the shower?
So I use E-cover washing up liquid. I'm not using shampoo, because that's another experiment, writing about it. I didn't go for the apple cider vinegar thing, because I think it'll just make your head stink.
Yeah. I'm glad that there's lines in the sand about what's too weird.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's all under, like, what might the GMC take issue with?
What?
If you just stayed at home all day, didn't have to go anywhere, I think you'd be using apple cider vinegar right now.
Yeah. Probably. Got rid of lavender spray or lavender products. Normal candles. Had to get beeswax candles.
Edamame beans,
not allowed. No cologne.
Who'd have thought?
No fragrances. Minimise dairy, fat. Switch my toothpaste.
So you can have low fat. You can have Fahe yogurt.
Yeah.
Total.
I'm using a non-fluoridated toothpaste called Euthymol, which is like the 1930s
delicious.
Like, it's really, it just tastes of clove.
Almond Hammer.
Clove.
Almond, it's really like... you can't touch carpets or vinyl floor. Like, what other floor is there?
Like this would all be, that's vinyl.
Yeah, not touching receipts, and then the e-cover washing up liquid, and a steel protein shaker.
Wow. Apparently that's me. The steel protein, no, my steel protein shakers.
We spoke about this before.
Yeah, so good, man. Pisses all over normal ones. Anyway, thank you very much. What have we got coming up? How to run your own business and the dangers that are associated with going on your own. Strength training, truth as a superpower, relationships 103. What else have we got?
We've got a whole bunch of questions that we need to go through. I think we need to just do a Q&A.
We should do another
Q&A. Interview Video Man Dean.
Video Guy Dean? What about?
Video Man Dean.
All of the struggles that he's got.
VMD.
Yeah,
the VGD.
VGD sounds like a
BDE, big dick energy over there. Right, K-bye then. Thank you.
K-bye then.